This is Monday, September 12, 2011, and we have began the preliminary study meeting of the Taney County Commission. Incorporated within this time between 8:30 and 9, we'll also take public comment. Again, this is the time of morning that we look through what our agenda is for the day, ask questions, etc. I didn't find it.
Are you talking about the one we've questioned the last two or three weeks?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not in there. I looked for it. Unless it slid under another piece of paper.
It's not on the journal either, so it's not there.
Did you see it, or UMB?
I got their view. It's a lot of money.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, I would assume that has done already, though. Wouldn't you assume that?
I would assume it's all written out.
You may
even find that signature on there. I'm not sure, Jim, but when you get to it, it'd be under United Business. This is the. I'm going to show you and Jim both of this. This is if, in fact, we don't go across, the only change really be right here. If this change, copy back. Go ahead.
Out.
Here, Dan. So I had him down in IT, or it was Patsy. Of course, the big change here is that would be the easiest as far as changing addresses, which take no time, but it puts us within like 30.
You're talking about the blue line as it is.
Would be the new?
Yeah.
So it's almost identical,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of that.
Yeah.
Just another thought.
Yeah. Did you find it, Jim?
It's not in there. We'll have to talk to the auditor's office just a second.
If we were not to do something like this,
right?
No, we have to find the number of people that's needed. That would be the simplest. I think this is the way to go. This gives you an idea. The only real change from the red line to the blue line, this would change back. I told you we'd want all the city on this ransom.
Right.
That part had been moved down, so there's like nothing there. But real change is he moved to 65 instead of, so you'd be losing this in one, picking up in two, which means that
this 65? Is that this basically is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So it's still the same here, here, chest. What is east of 65?
I'm willing to trade that person.
Off the one? Well, and then we circle over here and you get this one.
I see. No. It's all or none. I think it would be agreed.
Well, there's also the thinking of we've got all those others to look at.
Are you being selfish at all, though?
What?
Are you being selfish since you know I'm not running again?
Selfish. Oh. Correct. And he hasn't got square one. Matter of fact, just filing might be a hanging offense.
Gosh.
Selfish. Yeah. You guys had a chance to review the 9-15 or had any talk with Ron and talking to, because he's had chats with individuals who are utilizing the services of one of the early company we're looking at?
I have not talked to any individual.
No, but
but he has, and he said he's contacted all the references.
They're all home runs, aren't they?
He said they are just falling over backwards to offer praise. And I like the idea, when we get there to that discussion too, as Dan pointed out, there's too many things with this structure that maybe we need to contemplate. Because certainly if someday it's not going to exist. Did you by any chance get up? You didn't know Bart Morris was there, well, did you? Or did you?
Hmm.
No. Well, I wanted to go to that and I couldn't walk. She was my treasure in 1992.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I read.
How you guys doing today? You walk with crutches now?
Yeah, those are, as Jim pointed out, they're from about 1920.
I would say they're very dangerous.
I wouldn't put any weight on those things. They could splinter away. They may have dry rot.
You guys need to be aware of this.
Protection.
Understand that if something were to happen, That's my feeling.
Okay. I
have volunteer time.
You cannot.
I understand.
And if it has to be done, we're thankful we have a good place where we'll do it, but if it doesn't have to be done, we don't want to have to. So.
Hey, Rick.
There was a phone call made about that.
I was looking for another bill in the accounts payable, and it wasn't there again this week.
And I was told I think it would be next week.
Okay. I thought she dropped it off.
I thought it was in there, but she would come first.
Not in there. Okay.
Not in there. And I,
all right. I was looking.
I'll try to ask him. I know he's going to do it.
Nah, just.
Also, one of the issues that we're following, guys, is
Is that the visitor you had?
After what?
Is that the visitor you had?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. But I asked for a copy of it and finally got it through not the usual sources. Deborah and R&B found for me the court decision.
Mm-hmm.
Court decision basically does away with a claim that was against the county and against Brandt, et cetera, the lawsuit that had been filed. And it says it's a public road 40 feet in width. What Jim wrote was over the course that existed on November 23rd, 2005. That's his description. I've read this thing, I don't know how many times. So how my
well, there was a evidence showing on a map the old road.
Well, my
I sat through the deal. I sat through this.
Right. Well, we need to chat. What? I believe it.
Hey, Danny, look at your agenda. Have you guys seen payroll yet? It's on our approval. Okay, so we'll have to postpone that probably.
Well, it doesn't change, right?
No. If it's not ready, though, I don't know if it's going to be ready or not.
I don't either. It's
these changes are fine.
We need to ask.
Rick, can you come in so we can discuss payroll?
We need to ask Dawn about that whenever she gets everything turned into her, and it's preferable for her to do that.
To
approve payroll. Because sometimes not everything's in to the office. That's Friday stuff, and we're doing it on Monday morning. And that's...
Here you go. Did you see this story?
The what? Don? Rick?
He called me Friday, and I made the...
We just... All we have listed is payroll.
I don't have anything... not all
the
time.
She's turned in
yet. They won't be in
until
5 o'clock. So I don't have
any
payroll to
make that story. Our
druthers
are to wait? Or?
Well, I haven't read it yet. I don't know, because I have told the girls I didn't know anything. I decided
when he called me, I said, exactly call him, but I am not talking.
The deadline. That's the reason we always put it on Wednesday, but I didn't know what everybody wanted.
Either Mondays or Thursdays.
Well, Thursday. Approve it on Thursday. It's just that direct deposit.
It's just what?
Direct deposit has to be in the bank on Wednesday. Really? Now, I would have just personally sent it this way.
Tuesday,
the person could use the payroll like direct deposit. Just
really?
I know. Like a blanket for the whole year.
Jim, are you listening to this?
Not even one word.
We're talking about payroll. And the question is, since it's really ministerial and functional, that there's something unusual, in which case you bring it up to us anyway, why cannot be blanketed approved for
the year as a payroll?
For the year.
And then all they'll do is, I mean, if there's an emergency or anything like that.
I mean, it's within budget. I mean, it's all operating within what we budget.
Anything above that?
No, we're going to run into a budget issue toward the end of the year, aren't we, based off of the buyout?
Very likely we will.
Yeah.
There's two things that can happen. One, the prosecutor's office is over.
Right.
There'll
be a few departments that may be over. So I agree with you guys.
We will try to watch very closely. We'd like to look at anything that we can see.
Well, I'm not very mobile, so I can't go very far. You don't want to come? What? Okay.
Well, we do have it on. We do have an executive session on the agenda. Yeah.
There you go.
Is point three personnel? No.
Yeah, I was still wrong. He called her Friday, and I called her and said, would you call him back? Because I don't want to talk.
We got 10:30. Okay.
Scroll down. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, caps. He called me, Joe. Nick, I didn't see any public comment out there, did you?
There wasn't. I walked
by. I didn't see any. Thank you.
Okay. If we can have Mr. Erickson come over here in that time, each person that's going to be with him can come out, like the sheriff or Mark or... I'll get him. Yeah, that'll work. I'd like to call the Monday, September 12, 2011 meeting of the Taney County Commission to order. And I'd like to call on Commissioner Straffus, the opening prayer.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Father, and we thank you for all the good things you've done for us, Father, and you continue to bless us. We ask for a continued protection of our families and our country. And Father, we thank you for the men and women who serve to protect our borders. Father, we ask you to be with them as they do their job. Be with their families as they serve the time and they're away on for different deployments. Father, we ask that you give the leaders of both the federal, the state, the local government wisdom in all the decisions that they make. And Father, we thank you for your goodness all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve minutes from September 6th with changes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve prior meeting minutes of September 6th with changes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carried. Accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 325-868 through 325-921, warrants 5478 through 5481.
Second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks 325868 through 325921 and warrants 5478 through 5481. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Journal entries or transfers?
None. Motion to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion was made and seconded to approve payroll. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Monthly budget report.
Oh, that's Mr. Finley.
Yes.
Rick, if you can hear, no. Rick, if you can hear us, would you join us?
Yes.
Did you say you were browbeating him in his office? No.
No, he had some printout.
Monthly budget report, Mr. Finley?
Yeah.
I've got glasses that have three levels if you'd like to use them.
I agree with him or not. It's really small. Do you guys have any questions? I send this to you monthly, and I don't think that there's anything that would be alarming to any of you and not to me anyway, but I always want you to have a chance to ask questions if you have them.
Okay. I've got a question for you that I'll want to I'll catch you just as soon as we recess here.
I'll be glad to answer that, Daniel.
I'm wondering in the course of the next couple of weeks if on a Thursday afternoon perhaps we couldn't just have a work session, preliminary work session on the budget, not with the budgets in hand, but to talk about the existing 2011 budget, talk about some revenue projections for next year, and then we start the process at whatever time we normally begin that process.
That sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, I'd love to visit with you guys, get more opinions. I think I have all but maybe one department that's turned in their budgets right now, and I will go ahead and do that. I got budgets from you that Road and Bridge, and Randy and I had worked on Road and Bridge. I'm not sure that I probably will start with mine and his estimates rather than yours, and we're going to work with one way or the other, whichever it is.
We're going to start with the ones that I gave you, and then we're going to work from those.
No, I think we're going to start with the ones I gave, that Randy and I did, and work to yours if we need
really?
To.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, then we're going to have a discussion about
the
budget.
Okay, that'll be fine. But that's the way, I think, the best way to do it. Okay.
Rick, I'm going to go ahead and ask that question because it concerns are you finished there, Ron? I didn't know.
No, I'm just getting started, quite frankly. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm
no,
sorry.
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I should be done.
Well, the question I was going to ask was about there seems to be, and I've had several employees contact me, some confusion about when we did the comp time, and at the end of the comp time on the 8th, down to 80 hours for September, so we would know, and it goes along with this budget process, but so we would know where we were at and all those things. Could you refresh over the air the one for the people in there, because we had an adjustment on that from July to September, the use of comp time over 80 hours.
Dan, you've caught me. My remembrance is that you guys had proved that some of those guys in Road and Bridge could keep over 80 hours because we had the big storm and stuff in the spring. And I think that they were trying to get that worked off by September 1. Is that what you're trying to? Okay.
That's where I'm going with that. If you could look and see what you have note-wise so that I can relay that on in an official manner, that would help me.
Okay.
As far as I know that we had a change because of weather-related incidents. But I would like to have that, I'd like for that to be maybe emailed out to, sent out in the paychecks or something. Because I've had four or five calls this last week wanting to know why this and why that on that. So,
okay. If you guys want to send something out in the paycheck, I'm sure that Helen would be glad to do that. And I assume you're talking mainly emergency management, those involved in emergency management and road and bridge, because mm-hmm. that would be the ones yeah, that were affected right there.
Yeah, and just the comp, just our what we discussed and how we set out the rules for the comp time this year because of budgetary issues.
Sounds like a good idea. Any other ones? Anybody else have a question?
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Well, I thought you were through. I'm sorry. I mentioned that.
No, I was just.
I know.
We have a series of bids this morning. I think the first is the food services management bid. If I'm not mistaken, Ron, I saw the sheriff there. If he just stepped out, you might want to grab him. Oh.
He'll catch up.
He'll catch up with us.
Do you want to move on down to aviation fuel? Because he may be just a minute.
Ron, if you would you carefully push that podium back towards the wall? Because it has a tendency to tip, was why I said carefully. Just so people can see you. Sheriff, if you would, could you join us up here with Ron? Thank you, sir.
Bring your hog skinner with you to open these packages?
Probably.
Good morning, gentlemen. First order of business this morning is RFP number 201108-147, food service management for the jail. I have received, as of 9 o'clock this morning, three bids. The first one is from ABL Management in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Butcher's out.
That one's not much.
You got that right. Packages in here. What we will probably do, gentlemen, have to do on these is just open to do the opening, then do a spreadsheet, evaluate, get back with you.
Is that something that you would anticipate for today, or should we schedule that for Thursday, John?
Probably, I would say we could probably do it later on today. Okay.
The second one is from Avions LLC in Roseville, Minnesota.
How do you spell that?
A'VIANDS, however you want to pronounce it, Avions.
And it's from?
It's an LLC management company out of Roseville, R-O-S-E-V-I-L-L-E, Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay.
And the third one is from CBM Managed Services out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Careful.
If anybody wants to know what he needs for Christmas, a new knife.
Thanks.
We can probably review these. Probably, you got, I don't know if you're open for 3 o'clock this afternoon.
We can make time. We can just come out.
We would, or we can go to another day.
No, we're scheduled for executive session, but we can come out to...
Whenever's best for you. So 3 o'clock or so?
That'll give us time to go over them.
Okay.
Could I just look at one of them before you take them, like one of those packages right there? I don't care who it is. I just... I'm going to look at a general idea here.
What there will be, or what it's always been in the past, there will be usually a kind of a different calorie food count. Okay. There will be a price for six numbers, another price for certain numbers. Number of inmates.
Is this bid spec for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year?
3 years.
Up to 3 years?
Yes.
So if you wanted to change any time, you okay.
Yeah. Should be in the Norman contracts, there'll be a 30, if there's a change wanted, there'll be a 30-day notice in writing. And,
right.
And then the change be done.
Okay.
A lot to that.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Jim, if you get finished with your evaluation on that before that time, could you come on over and we'll just come out of executive? Would that be all right, or do we need to post that different?
Well, we need, if we're going to post to a definite time, we need to
tell Ward.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just keep it that way. I was going to meet with someone that. Round 3, so
let's move it.
Make it 2:30.
Can we post to a work day in less than 24 hours?
We can postpone it to a definite time and move it back.
Okay.
We can move it back. Let's just move it back. Do you think any chance by 1:15?
I've got payroll due this morning.
That's fine. Just go ahead.
It might be better just go ahead and go tomorrow or something with it.
Yeah, as far as preparing.
I just don't want to rush you guys in that.
Yeah.
I'm swamped.
Let's just do it on Thursday.
Okay.
Let's just do it Thursday. We'll post it Thursday and we'll be good.
Okay. Yeah,
Thursday
may not be good for me.
Well, we've got to have you, so let's.
Yeah.
The week, I mean, Monday. Next
Monday
will be fine.
How much time do you need? Is next Monday too late?
Is tomorrow not good?
We weren't even planning to be in session tomorrow,
okay.
So. We've got
airport board meeting,
and I've got a CLIO meeting in Springfield. And
yes,
it's a day that we have other statutory responsibilities.
8 or earlier. 8.
8 o'clock be fine.
Mm-hmm. 8
tomorrow.
Thursday. 8.
I can do it early.
Have we already got something at 8 o'clock Thursday?
Agenda request.
We can move that back. Okay.
Perfect. 8 o'clock.
Who is the county service currently with, Jack?
ABL.
ABL, okay. Like the old days where we used to cook in-house, isn't it?
Actually, we're doing it cheaper than what we used to whenever we was cooking
in-house. Isn't that something?
Ron, we had a rather long discussion about that whenever
we put this in place, how many years ago did we start that, Jimmy?
Three years ago.
We had an evaluation on what it costs to do it this way or cook in-house, and this was quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah, it's quite a bit cheaper, plus we've got the backing of their company with the dietitian. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm real impressed with that.
Works well. Okay.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks.
Yep.
I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
Well,
Mr. Erickson, the next item we have is aviation fuel.
Yes.
Mr. Perrin, if you could join Ron at this table.
This is RFP number 201107-140, aviation fuel supplier. And I received three packages. There's one fairly large box here that does not have the RFP written on the outside of it. But just for safety's sake, I've gotten in the habit of not opening anything until after the deadline, just to be safe. So we'll see what's inside here.
Chris, this is from Bill Houtman, World Fuel Services.
No, I took it out this morning. Sling blade.
Copies. This is from World Fuel Services. It'll be presented to the airport board for review.
The second one I received was hand delivered on Friday from Nagler Oil Company in Springfield, Missouri.
Could you tell me the name of the company again, Ron?
Nagler, NAEGLER. Oil Company in Springfield.
Thank you.
That's what it is. It'll be presented to the airport board.
Can we bring that in Thursday morning for approval, too, because they'll approve it at the airport board deal, and then we could put the final signature on it. Thursday, just like we've got this other one? Would that be all right? Or?
That would. I'm sure that probably is okay. I'll have to get it to the airport. I don't want to rush them, but the speed at which they review it, it'll be up to them.
Mark, would you just call me and let me know?
I will.
Please.
Yes.
The last one I received was just this morning, right prior to the deadline, and it is from Arrow, ARROW, Energy Incorporated in Dixon, Illinois. And everything is marked correctly, and so we will hear back from you when you're
as soon as the airport board makes their review and choice their recommendation. I'll call you.
You want this box for all that?
Yes.
Mark, would you do us a favor if in fact you're going to be the one that is going to compare those to send to Mr. Erickson a breakdown of what those different bids are for our records?
Yes.
Just so we can have it.
I'll reorganize it and present that to you.
Right.
I sure will.
Thank you, sir.
I'll put it in a tab sheet. The next order of business is also involving the airport, so we'll let Mr. Parent stay right where he's at. We have RFP number 201107. -141 Flight Instruction School. And on that one, I have received two correspondence. first one was on August the 9th. I'm not sure what that is. If you want to pop that open.
Well, it's a signed letter.
Declining.
It appears that it's probably a no-bid response, even though the form isn't filled out. It's a letter. And it appears as though it's probably a no-bid.
Who's it from?
Yeah. From Bill Lee. And
okay.
It appears as though it's non-responsive.
Okay. The second one I received this morning was from Ron and Becky Reeser.
Ron Reeser.
I'll see if I can cut this.
And this is a no-bid response form as well. It appears as though an attempt was made, but time was insufficient. I'll present both of these to the airport board.
And that's all that's all I have on those two bids.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Very well done.
Thank you, sir.
See you in the morning.
The next one I have is it's actually bid number 201108-144 for Cisco servers.
Bill is here.
Bill, would you like to come on? On this one, despite three or four emails that I sent out, I only got one response back. And it's not indicated on the envelope who it's from. It does have the proper marking, though, as far as the bid number. Take a look at that. Alexander Open Systems, also known as AOS, and that was one of the companies that I had emailed the bid to. And it has a dollar amount of $13,124.28 as a total. I would recommend that we set a time for review for Mark and Bill and his team to review this and then come back with a recommendation.
Would 115 today work for you?
Would work for me. Will Mark be back?
I have not heard from him this morning. I'm not sure.
We can just wait till 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. Since we're going to be here anyway for the sheriff.
Okay.
Okay. 8 o'clock Thursday. On today, I'll make a copy of it and get it down to you guys, okay? Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. See ya.
That's all I have.
Well, actually...
Yeah, the next one also.
Well...
Computer temperature control.
Right. And I wasn't sure how the commission wanted to proceed on that, if you're ready to. The recommendation from Mr. Malico, which I concur with, is to go with...
EPM?
Yeah, EPM.
Did he give us those breakdowns in writing, in the email, or just did he hand them out?
Both.
He did? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll find it real fast. Mm-hmm.
I haven't received any additional information other than what we discussed previously.
But if I'm not mistaken, you have talked to some of the individuals who, in
right.
fact, utilize the services of EPM. Can
right.
you share with us what you found?
Right, and I did in the previous session when we discussed this. The Ozark School System had received this product via referrals from Reed Springs School System, and they just absolutely could not give a more firm or glowing recommendation. Some of the details, which I did put in writing here, include the fact that they see the service folks on a weekly basis. The service folks go the extra mile to assist them with solving other problems that are even unrelated to the CTC system. They have realized their payoff 2 years sooner than they expected to. And both of these referrals that I received in the discussions were almost identical from Reed Spring and from Ozark School System. And that's a big part of the reason why Mr. Malco and I would both recommend.
We also received that same type of recommendation from Hollister, right?
Right.
Right.
I'm going to move that we award the computerized temperature control bid to EPM for the judicial facility only.
And the jail.
Judicial facility and jail.
You got to think they're three. They're separated three, aren't
right.
they?
Right. That's correct.
Now, I'll second for discussion. Could we, and I don't know, he handed me a breakdown of what the savings, an estimated savings would be.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that we could, and put it as only an estimated savings, enter that into the record?
I have no problem adding that document, because he gave us the document of, you know, what the year's savings was. And
right.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for the public to,
if they're able to
pull
those
know.
Minutes,
to,
yeah.
Do you have that document there, Ron?
That's what I'm looking for here. I believe this is it.
We're going to move that table from there.
No,
it's a different document.
It was three rows. It was separated in columns.
A handwritten one?
You did a handwritten one, yeah. That one. That's the one. The yellow paper. Yeah. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Now we're looking. I'm looking at this one. But I'm open for discussion if you want that one.
No, I think this is his recommendation to me was that we take that last one.
That's what my thought was too.
But what I'm saying is, I want the staff, the general public, to know the reasons why we're moving in this direction.
And with the supporting documentation that we're
with the supporting documentation in the minutes to show. And that's the reason I want to...
I need to clarify my motion.
Then do go ahead and... Are you going to remake it? Or I'll
I won't.
We have a motion and a second on the floor to accept the bid from...
EPM.
EPM for the base CTL with voltage and monitoring.
That's correct.
For both the judicial facility and the jail.
Correct.
As provided in said bid. Discussion?
The discussion that I would have would is if it proves to be what is presented to the commission as savings and time for payback, then we would consider this facility itself
right.
as the third part. It was bid in three parts, and this facility was the third part.
Right. Lynn, let the record show that we will be including the estimate of time years for payoff within the minutes with the recommendation from Commissioner Strahan that if, in fact, we meet these criteria, that this old courthouse be potentially included?
Yes. Is that all right with your motion?
Absolutely.
I think that's an excellent comment, Dan. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
I'll give that to her.
Ron, we'll get you a copy back from Lynn. She needs a copy.
All right.
Guys, actually, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about the opportunity to start saving money on those facilities' utility costs.
That was a long process, if you think about it. That started before you came to office. We started doing...
Done with me?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Erickson.
Okay.
A lot of paperwork in it, Ron.
Nah. Just need a janitor or two to help me carry all the trash out.
Actually, today we're going to get a report from the treasurer and the auditor.
Correct.
And then we'll. Oh, for the.
We'll just let you set on the schedule.
Okay.
So, Red,
you want
to try to change
it
and just let me know and I'll.
All right.
Whatever you decide.
Yep. Helen. And Mr. Finley. If you two would join us.
You're here.
Nikki, on your way out, would you see Frick's available? Thank you.
Why don't you push that table forward?
Why?
Because they're hitting the wall all the time. Thank you. Does he have the speaking part?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Rick again. No, I guess I'm... kind of wondering too what you needed from us today on this about the procurement cards. And here comes the little laptop. I might start out by saying, you know, on these procurement cards we do get the 1% back, mm-hmm. you know, on those and since its inception July of 2010 we've received $15,230 back in the 1% from our best bank. And that when we went out for bids for these cards, that was the one thing that intrigued us was the fact that we would be getting the 1% back.
Now, that's a return from July of last year, right?
Uh-huh. Up until the end of what I received in August. I haven't gotten September's yet.
before the procurement card, we had county cards. What kind of, talk us through the evolution of where we are right now. Go back if you can.
2002, 2003, somewhere in that neighborhood, we decided that we would move into the procurement card system. And before that, we didn't have any kind of credit cards that were in the county's name, I don't believe it, unless it was just a specific one with Lowe's or with somebody like that. We were at that time having a lot of trouble.
Rick, would you do me a favor and pull that up closer to you guys? So perfect. Thank you very much.
One of the things that we were having a lot of trouble with was the gas, whatever it is, where we store our gas bulk,
mm-hmm.
and they just had trouble with that machine working, and we were calling Gary Morgan out at all hours of the night to fill up at that time. Jimmy can tell you more about that. You want to tell him about that a little bit?
I guess the sheriff's office was probably the first to go into the procurement cards with it, and a lot of the reasons we would have people that travel all the time, we was having to give them money, give them cash, then they would bring the receipts back and the cash back. We had deputies, and you know, it was kind of a nightmare trying to do that, to do a complete paper trail on it. We had deputies that would be going to training, and basically you either have to pay for your whole week out of your pocket, which is very difficult for a lot of them to do, and then be reimbursed 2 or 3 weeks later. So that was part of the reason for going to procurement cards. We also was having the problems with, we had one gas pump in the county. If you was Pro Tem, Ridgedale, whatever, and was running low on gas, you had to drive 20, 30 mile to the gas pump to fill up and then drive back to finish what you was doing. So it was actually costing the county money for us to be doing it the way we was operating. Middle of the night, we was having to take off, do a lot of 96-hour commitments. We may have to go to St. Louis in the middle of the night to do a commitment. Of course, we couldn't get money to the officer if the officer didn't have money for fuel. And anymore, you know, back then, tank fuel's 20 bucks.
Yeah, a little more now.
Now you need a small loan to fill up. But that's a lot of the reasons why we went to the procurement card system. It allowed us to have more flexibility of being able to travel. It gave us a complete paper trail through the receipts as to what was being purchased. It gives us the 1% back, and gives us the ability to purchase from the consumers within our county without having to just, you know, for fuel and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives you a background on that. And we actually looked at just getting a gas card for a while, but that when we looked at it at that time, it wasn't. This was the better deal for the county. We put out bids. First time we took bids, we didn't make the best decision, I don't believe, because we didn't get the money back that we should have gotten. And then, what was it, 2 years ago now? A year ago when we went with our vest, we have since then, it's been good for the county. Now, I do believe that maybe if we had some tighter policies, you guys might feel better about the procurement cards. But I think they're looking at what we have and what it does for us, and then also looking at what other counties do and what it does for them. I believe we have a pretty good system.
How many cards are issued right now then?
90, I believe, somewhere around.
Okay.
It was 92 2 weeks ago.
So. From what Joanne and I just looked at, I believe the Sheriff's Department is about half of that.
Probably so.
All the deputies?
Yeah.
And just for the reasons that Jimmy just stated, I can't see us being able to do any other alternative to that.
I've actually asked Joanna to look at which ones of those cards are really being used, which ones are not being used. And she put out an email, I think maybe a couple of weeks ago, asking people that are not using, do you need the cards? She didn't get any responses. So we may need to just take some action on that is administrative action on that.
Is it, there probably wouldn't be very many, though. Is there?
I would say maybe as many as 10
that are that
really,
used?
Really not used very often at all.
Okay. Every office have one? Every elected official, I guess, office department-wise have them? Or?
Several elected officials do not have one. I mean, I don't think Helen does.
I just now got one, just recently.
There is one in my office that, that the auditor's office uses to pay the bills that are, because, you know, it makes sense that we would pay a bill using that if we can, because we're going to get 1% back.
Right. Great Rivers. So.
Great Rivers is one of the examples, yes.
Okay.
Be nice if we could pay off that bond.
I think you're right, Ron. It would be really nice, wouldn't it?
Can we?
What the limit's on.
If we would, I would cancel that check today and utilize a credit card.
I don't think so. I think Joanna checked into that, but we will check. I'm pretty sure that they won't take that, but we can ask.
Why don't we check into it before we issue that check? 1% of $300,000 is an awful lot of money.
Were you here to talk about, you know, the procurement cards? Basically, the policy, is that what we're here to talk about? Just having a stricter or having a policy on maybe a limit, a day limit, a meal limit?
We're going to get there. I think actually what they had asked for last week was how are they working, what was it conceived, what was the, I mean, you have been answering those questions. Mm-hmm. How did it come back or come about?
Pros and cons.
Would you change it if you had to? I mean, would you do away with it?
What's not working? What is working?
I don't believe, if you had my vote, I don't believe it'd be economical or, you know, efficiency for us to get rid of the current economy.
Okay.
I just really feel like that it's where we need to be right now.
I personally think in my office it would cost the county considerably to get rid of them, because you would have to have somebody coming in at night to get money to people.
Yeah.
To go and having a petty cash drawer is a bad idea.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
Fingerprint cards are a lot less liability than, yes, than what was the other way. I do think that we might look into, if you wanted to, we could look into bidding where that they can set up their credit card machine where it accepts our credit card and gives us a discount. It's possible they might do that. I know one of the stations said that they could. But if you did that, you'd still want to bid at least three or four throughout the county, so we're not driving long distance. That was one of the reasons that we did that, so that we wouldn't have to go to the one spot to get gas.
Right. I mean, gas cards, one of the questions I was asked is, have we looked at gas cards? And I told them that there was no consistency across the whole county.
Well, and we don't just travel in the county.
Right.
We travel across the whole state, actually across the United States.
Right.
So that's a concern. Go ahead.
Sheila?
You just mentioned elected officials having them. I didn't elect to have one in the beginning, but then when I went to order office supplies, you cannot order office supplies without a credit card. So I first went to the auditor's office and borrowed one to complete that order, and then I had to get one. With our agreement with our office company, we order them online, and you've got to have the credit card to order them.
Okay. Whether it's a credit card or whether you're doing cash, whatever, you're going to have to have guidelines and policies, and the credit card's not what makes people slip up and do the wrong thing. You're going to have to watch it regardless of whether it's credit card or cash receipt, whatever.
Right.
And personally, I feel that the credit card gives us so much better of a tracking system than what the cash does. I mean, there's just no doubt that it does.
Don't we restrict type of transactions? Each merchant has to do.
We do.
We do restrict that.
Yeah.
I know there's
each card is set up differently. We can. In fact, I think a lot of gyms people can only buy at the gas stations, and you know, I think it's set up there. So, and that's a good, you know, safe
right.
thing to do there. And you know, if you look at the credit card, I'll tell you, the sheriff's office is the most difficult one to figure, and boy, they do a great job. I appreciate the work that they do down there. So, if he's liking this system,
right.
I'm thinking maybe the rest of us maybe need, if you're having trouble with it, you need maybe talk to whoever figures the bill down there and have them help figure something.
So, yeah, go ahead. You got something?
Well, the whole purpose of meeting with the treasurer and the auditor was to visit with about the pros and cons. I'm glad you had your say in that, Jimmy, because that's part of what we're trying to come up with. I think that there's going to be as I understand it, we'll have another meeting to talk about limits or guidelines or whatever that we want to put on that. The main reason we're having this meeting is to satisfy the public's perception of the credit card use. Now, there may be such a thing as if we got 10 or 15 credit cards out here that nobody's using, that needs to be done away with. I mean, those 15 cards need to be done away with. The number of credit cards in each individual office, as was related by you, as I said, I've never had one. I've took advantage of the fact that we have one in the office, mm-hmm. but there's other people that need a credit card. Now, I would ask each individual. I'm just asking Jimmy because he's here. If he has 40 some odd in his deal, then for him to review and see if every person that has one needs it. That's what this whole conversation is about, and so that the public sees why, who has, and the need for credit cards. And if we got 15 out there that doesn't need a credit card, then there's no need in those people having those available for somebody to steal or
and,
to.
We did, Danny. I think was it last spring? I believe last spring, late winter. We Mr. Finley asked for us to go through and review that the process, see if we did need all those, and so that has been done. We have went through and reviewed those. We cut several out then.
Yeah.
At that point.
What about policy changes? What changes of the policy would you guys? And that's an answer we don't have to have right now, but we're looking to refine. I mean, we talked about tire policies possibly, but what are some tire policies you would like to see us implement?
For you guys' benefit, we need to know how much people can spend per diem, stuff like that. There are times when something comes through on a credit card and we see an amount, we see where it was spent and stuff like that, and may not have any rationale for it. So one thing would be you want to look at those per diems, per meals, those stuff like that. Another thing would be you probably should have a policy as, when can a person buy a meal? The IRS, they allow their people to buy meals if they're away overnight. If they're not away overnight, then those meals are not reimbursable. So that's probably one of the biggest things there. And like I say, I don't think there's any abuse there, because if there were, I would be addressing it now. I would like to see on seminars, conferences, whatever it is, I really feel like that as a to again help you guys, I think it would be a real good idea to have everybody fill out a report. Okay, this seminar was really good. I can share this information. This is why it was good for the county. Right now, somebody goes to a seminar, that information maybe doesn't get shared across the different offices sometimes, maybe even within the office sometimes. I don't know. So I think that you ought to have an evaluation of seminars and conferences and stuff on there. But that could be tied to the credit card policy, but it's not the credit card policy.
Well, one thing I would like to know is if I wanted a credit card, you're probably the first one I would come and ask, but how does that procedure work? I mean, is there anyone in the county that is an employee or a elected official or whatever? How do they proceed to get a credit card?
Danny, right now, we if someone came and asked for a credit card, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to make sure that the management of that department, whoever that management might be, is saying, yes, they do need a credit card. If an employee comes to us, we're not going to get that for them unless we have approval through the management, okay? So that's just, that, does that answer that question, I guess?
That answers the question of how you get it, if you're telling me, but does that answer the question of need?
And
just because
yeah.
someone that is in a position of a crew leader, if it was road and bridge or if it's some other department, I mean, just because somebody says that somebody needs a credit card, is that your judgment to issue?
We pretty much rely on the management to make a good decision with that. And, you know, if it's questionable, I might say, well, is there some reason that we really feel like this person needs a credit card?
Well, as Jimmy said, they went under review as his office. Mm-hmm. As elected officials, do they need to review each office who's got credit cards? I wouldn't have a clue in who's got one in my office.
I think there's a lot that you're going to have to rely on your elected officials to make the decision as to whether they need one or not, because you can't, I mean, well, I guess you could, but it'd be very difficult to sit down and write a policy to pertain to each
department,
each office, as to what they need. And, you know, they're about going to have to do that themselves.
Mm-hmm. As well as, you know, you have several different supervisors that are not elected officials that we kind of rely on that way, too.
Let me ask a question, if I could. These individual credit cards that employees have, are they in their names or is it in the county name?
They will have their name and the county name on it.
Is there any such thing as a generic card that has the county name on it that employees could use? I mean, we have an awful lot of credit cards out there.
We normally will issue one to a department. In other words, I think the one in my office is issued to the auditor's department.
Okay.
And I think there's one issued to the commission as a where, you know, if you guys want to use it online or something like that, that's what that's for, really.
Go ahead, Ron.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I would recommend myself staying away from that. I would rather have it in each officer's or each person's name. That way you have a tracking of who actually made the purchase. If you've got one that is just a generic in a name, like if we had one in ours, somebody makes a purchase, it's going to be very difficult for us to track back and see who actually made that purchase.
And the actual statements that come in, too, also have it broken down like that. There's several pages where it would be Jimmy's department, and it's got each deputy down through there and where he stopped and got gas and how much it was. And if you just had the sheriff's department, you would have, like, several pages of, you know, all this gas and everything down through there. But
no way of tracking it back
no
to who
way
it was.
And, of course, you would have the receipts. He would have the receipts to turn in with it.
Right.
But I think it would be more of a nightmare to...
Actually, didn't our auditors recommend that we not have a generic card laying around?
Not only the auditors, but the credit card companies will, too. They want those to be in a person's name so they can hold them responsible.
And I do know that with the agreement, usually the name on the card is ultimately responsible for the bill, even though it's a county credit card. The individual making the charge is ultimately responsible for payment of those bills.
Yeah, if they pay tax or something with it,
right.
they're responsible for it.
Or if it gets denied by a business or a county or the county, the individual is still responsible for that
right.
that transaction.
With no reflection on you or your department or any department within the county, we're having a lot of calls, at least I'm fielding a number of calls, regarding the procurement cards, the credit cards, and purchases. And are they used solely for county vehicles? Are they used for personal use? Are the credit cards used to fill both county cars and personal cars? It's hard to follow everybody and make sure how that happens, but these are the calls we're getting, which is part of the reason that we're even having these conversations.
And I understand that, Ron.
And we, as you said, tighten up. We're going to look at whatever policies are available to us. And not all the public's concerns or allegations are going to be valid, but we want to answer as many of those as we can and make sure, obviously, that we're doing the best job we can in monitoring these. So
we had
that's why we're even having this discussion.
We had the same concerns when we had the computer on the gas pumps out there, and it was a credit card type deal issued for the county gas pumps. We had the same concerns from the public coming in. Well, are they filling personal vehicles there at the county gas pumps? So, yeah, we went through the same thing with that.
It's good that the public watches us that close. You know, what we have to say is we have people in management positions that are supposed to be watching that, and I believe that most of our departments do a real good job. You may know something different, and if you do, please tell me. I'll try to address that if at all possible. I feel like that we have a pretty good idea of what's going on most of the time. And Jim watches his department real close. He's one of the would be one of the biggest possibilities of abuses would be over there.
What I would like to know, and this might be impractical, and certainly might not be the best thing for us to do, Jimmy, but at least it would help me have a handle on answering questions out there. If we had multiple fueling spots in the county, is this 1% payback, if you will, from the credit card to the county more money than what we would save if we bought fuel in bulk? That's another question that's come up.
When we looked at that, we can buy the fuel cheaper in bulk, but by the time we have to drive to that and the problems that we have with it, we felt like it was much more efficient this way.
And you know, something you may not know, on these credit cards, we have a lot of reporting that we can get
reports from the credit card company that shows strictly fuel use. So it's really user-friendly and easy to track office supplies, fuel, hotel, meals. Mm-hmm. So that is something that can be done on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, so you can see exactly what you're using in each of those situations. And on the abuse thing you were talking about, my recommendation I told Rick was, number one, we need detailed receipts on everything. We have had problems with people only bringing back, you know, the ticket that has the amount on it, nothing else. And the other thing is
the solution to that is if we build the policy tight enough,
exactly,
not pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or if, I mean, it's simple to me just to write on a receipt, if you've got a lunch receipt that you went such and such place for lunch for this reason. Then 6 months later, when somebody wants to look at these receipts and say, well, what was this for? I have no idea, because they're not required to turn anything in. But if it's written right there on the receipt, you know, it's a lot easier. You don't have to worry so much about people abusing it if they've got to put some kind of notation on stuff.
You bet. You bet. And we're headed there, I believe.
Absolutely.
Well, no matter what the reasoning is, I mean, it's good for the public knowledge just to have this discussion, that no matter what you do, whether it be phones, issue of phones, whether it's credit cards or whatever it is, there's going to be questions asked by the public of how my tax dollars are being spent. So to have this discussion about this and to follow up with a discussion about whether the limits are set to the right level, timing of events that we all are either obligated to go to or choose to go to, is another question that'll have to be brought up. And so, you know, I'm the one that asked to put this on here because I've been having so many calls, and I think every commissioner has been having some calls. So that's the main purpose, is to maybe clear some air and see what's now. One thing that the follow-up on this and the posting of whenever that will be is the number of credit cards that are out there. And if we can cut the numbers down, I think we'll cut a lot of the questions down. If there's 15 out there that's not being used, let's get those back in the hands of whoever's.
We'll close the accounts.
Yeah. And so that would be my recommendation. And then that's just something we'll have to talk about. And policy, we have a policy in effect, and we changed that 3 years ago, I believe it was, that we changed it. And then we've had some adjustments because of storms, weather-related. I know even when the jail pods were being built, and you had a lot of overtime with people bringing and all that kind of stuff, there was adjustments to what those regulations or what we set down as guidelines. Those things were changed periodically, and so I just think it's a good conversation to have, and we look through who's got phones and who's need of phones and how many phones. I know Jim had a report, but he had a, we had 35 phones or something like that. Is that the number or somewhere close to that that was not in use or wasn't being used that we had numbers on?
I can't remember the numbers yet. We have,
but I mean, those kind of things are things that we need to look at and every once in a while review. And so I think it's a very worthwhile discussion that we have here and that the public gets the sense of what's going on.
And I think what the public needs to know and rest assured a little bit more that these accounts are monitored. I mean, the auditor's office monitors them when they bring in. The elected officials are really good to make sure that if something's turned into them that it's not above and beyond. I think the next thing, like Rick said, we need to do is the policy. Just set a policy, a per diem, a policy that Joanna can go by whenever those receipts come in, that if you don't have this kind of documentation, you're on your own.
Absolutely.
You know, just a stricter policy on how much you can spend whenever you do go. But like I said, as far as the monitoring of the cards, I think that we're doing a good job at that.
Well, I think we don't have to go past today that if there is not the breakdown that we need for what the money was spent for, don't pay it. Let the individual pay it. It won't happen very many times.
We will have the dilemma with that is if it's a really a county expense, we will have some late fees we don't take care of. So, you know, anything you, what do you want to say about that, Joanna? Because I can see you.
You just have to put it back on the department. I mean, I look through every one of those every month, but just because I don't think they should spend something doesn't necessarily mean you don't think they should spend it. You know, you may be fine with it. And right now, I can only say, you know, you shouldn't have done that, but there's no policy that I can hold them to, and they'll tell me that. There's not a policy, so I can do that.
We're going to head there.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I can send out emails all week long. It doesn't do any good because I have no authority, even though I can start them and stop them. And something else I don't know if you know, those credit limits on those cards, some of them are pretty high, and I've said for months they need to come down. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to adjust those on a daily basis. Hmm. You know, we can set them at a standard $500 a month or whatever. I know Jimmy's department would need more than that. But if someone was going to training and for whatever reason their expenses would be a lot more than that, we can raise it and then turn around and lower it back down instead of having all that liability sitting out there.
And that might be part of your policy, too. This is, you know, the minimum. You might have another one that's a step up so that you have a little bit more control of what kind of credit limits. Because I think the way we did it that when we set these up was we asked the department heads and the elected officials what they needed. And, you know, sometimes we just want leeway rather than being a little bit more cautious sometimes.
What? I mean, I just think the next meeting we need to have some concrete policy suggestions for our next meeting.
That's.
So I know I have a few already that we'll bring up.
Well, let me suggest that each of us be thinking then, because I mean, I've looked at other policies and I see what other counties have established for a breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for example, for those times when it's acceptable and appropriate. But once we begin looking at that, we would appreciate the additional input because it might be different from one office to the other. And
Joanna, you did send them what we, because you went through and did that, and you guys got what we did in our office. Joanna,
I think I got them for the state of Missouri and for the IRS.
Yeah.
They're for DMs.
So,
and I mean, I sent copies of those to you guys.
Just want to make sure you got it. I thought that we sent it up there, but I want to make sure.
Would you send that to me again?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Appreciate it.
Very much, all of you. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yep.
And I would ask, is Donna Neely available? Is she here, Lynn?
to enter?
Well, I thought she would want to address this. There's the change that was made. It's highlighted. Hi, Donna. Next order of business is the conflict of interest ordinance. And Donna has provided us with, as I went through it, basically it's what the state has provided. We've asked for a change, and you have inserted that. That's highlighted, I think, in blue on both copies.
Are you accepting motions? Offer discussion? What do you
Did you have any comments about this, Donna, before we begin?
No.
Well, that was pretty.
There you go.
No, I mean, I like this format. It's like you said, I got it from the state. It addresses this particular issue straight on.
It's an annual agreement, an annual ordinance, correct?
Right.
Okay.
You can change it at any time.
Right.
Each year.
And it, am I reading it properly that all elected and appointed officials?
Yes.
Must comply?
Yes. And once I send this up, Ron, to the state, they'll send back a sheet, and I will have to identify each individual who has to do this form. Once I do that, then the forms will be mailed directly to those elected officials.
Okay, help me with Section 2, Subsection A. Because the part of this that I don't understand is it has all elected and appointed officials, but then it says as well as the employees of a political subdivision, which if I interpret that right means all employees, and I don't think that's the intent.
But I think that's all employees that have transactions. I don't have 105.454 with me, but I believe that's what that section is.
All right, so let's back up then. If in fact that it means that have had transactions, does that apply also to the elected officials? So if they don't have a transaction, they don't file? I'm just trying to be clear. So
I understand where you're going with that.
Okay.
We're stating in that section that I changed that's highlighted in blue, we're stating that all elected officials
on that
have to do that. Okay, no exception to it.
Okay.
And I believe in this section what we're saying is any employees of a political subdivision must comply with 105.454. And in that section it describes if they're doing business with the county, $500 per one transaction, I believe it is. So if they do a transaction of $50, they don't have to report. But if one transaction during the year is $500, then they would have to report.
Where are you saying that at, Donna?
It's under 105.454, Danny. I don't have that with me, that statute.
Okay, but it's not.
You want me to show you where he's talking about?
But it's not on this sheet. It's what I was looking for.
No,
the
but what he's talking about is right here.
Right, but I have a question about that also.
Okay.
As we discussed in the previous meeting when we were talking about this, the language that was stated said all elected and appointed officials as well as candidates for that position. I believe that's what it said.
Well, candidates falls under a completely different process. When you file for office, then you get information. You get we give you information that states that you have to comply with this within 14 days of your candidacy, the deadline, or you can be removed from the ballot. So that's a separate issue.
Is it the same form?
Yes.
So the candidates would have that, and then you provide that to them, that information separately.
Right, when they file for office.
But it did say that before, didn't
it? It did say that before.
In the document that was created by the other gentleman? Yes. Never in here.
By counsel.
Yeah, I've never changed this one.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Right. It refers to the $500 transaction. Well, it's not the same. It's not written the same. This is the actual what is prohibited to report. What's required based on report.
Helen gratefully brought this in.
Do you also have a copy of the short form, Donna? Is that what? No.
I gave it to Jill, and she not.
It may be here. Let me. No.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. See, I gave a copy. Can I give it to you?
So when it refers to these statutes, Jim, then you got to read the statute before you.
This is not that. This is not the sample ordinance. This is the statute.
I understand. Okay. But when you're looking at the statutes itself, did you go into the computer for any changes, Donna? That
I made
because
no
that's 10 years old.
I made no changes. This form is directly from the state.
Okay.
The only change I made was the one that you requested that I make.
I would accept a motion to approve the ordinance of Taney County to establish a procedure to disclose potential conflicts of interest and substantial interest for certain officials as presented by the county clerk.
So moved with one. When is the expiration date of this? It's not calendar year. Is it September 14th?
September 15th, I believe.
The new one has to be in place by September 15th.
Right.
So expiring September 14th, 2012.
Okay. Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the ordinance of Taney County, Missouri to establish a procedure to disclose potential conflicts of interest and substantial interest for certain officials to expire September 14th, 2012.
Correct.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Is this the form you would like to have signed or...
One without the blue, probably.
I've got one here without the blue on.
Well, the signature page should be the same.
And gentlemen, while we're on that discussion, and I think we had a lengthy discussion about it last week, is that we also thought that we might form a code of ethics sheet that would be separate from this, that would have different items on it.
You'll fill out the date and so forth, Don. Would you also make a copy of that that we can put up in our office? Thank you very much.
I think one of the attorneys is working on that.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to hear about that today.
All right. I just wanted to. And the reason I made that statement was because the original posting had code of ethics wrote on. Posting.
Next is the Arkansas Game and Fish response.
Am I the one that posted that, sir?
You did. We posted that in anticipation of the Corps of Engineers meeting that we had.
Right. And the meeting that we had and the field trip that I took with them and everything. The main purpose of the Corps of Engineers visit was to be the liaison, in which I found out that is exactly the way that thing was supposed to work. It wasn't supposed to be sent to us separately. It comes through the Corps and directly to us from the Corps because they are the ones that are just in less terms cutting the deal.
Right.
So there won't be any discussion on their response because they didn't have any. Arkansas Fish and Game didn't have any response. They were just...
They withdrew?
Yeah, they withdrew everything that they had sent us in, what, three-letter forms? We had two-letter forms that said
two
one thing
three,
and then
yeah.
Another response that said...
Disregard.
Disregard. So, and we didn't get that till after we were in the meeting. So,
how did your field trip go?
Very well, very well. Very impressed with the cleanup of the KDOC Park area, the fill-in of the dip across K Highway. We got some leniency there on that we hadn't had before. Randy and I had a good discussion with Mr. Mark Case with the Corps, and it went very well. I think it was a money-saving trip to that location.
Anything else for this morning's business?
Yes, sir.
I would ask that we stand in recess until 10:30, which time we'll go into executive session.
And just so they listen, the only time we're going to come out of executive is at 1 o'clock to have agenda review, and then we'll be back into executive. So.